We're going to continue our study of Sefer Malachim Aleph, and we left off, we had done the first eight psukim, so we're picking up with Pasuk Tes, and what had happened was, is really two episodes says, one, we're told in short that David was very old, and he needed to have an attendant. Specifically, he was having a problem being warmed by clothing. They say he found a young maiden who would warm him, be his personal attendant. And then we were told that Adoniah, who was the son of David's fourth wife, Chagit, that he announced, he exalted himself and said that I will be king. He wasn't beginning a rebellion. He was just announcing himself as king. And he specifically took up the company of Yoav and of Yasser HaKohen. We had pointed out two individuals who did not see themselves having a place in David's vision going forward for the future. Yoav, because of his complicated relationship with David and how he had made certain decisions against David's will, even though he was David's general. And Yasser, who was the Kohen Gadol, but had already seen the signs that he would not continue with the position of being Kohen Gadol, and that there were certain individuals, specifically Tzadok, the other Kohen Gadol candidate, Benayahu ben Yoyada, and Nasan the prophet, who were not invited to Adonijah's group. So Pasuk Tes continues that in order, you know, maybe things don't change. In order to get people into things, you have food involved, and good food. So that's what Adoniah gets involved with in Pasuk Tes. Vayizbach Adoniyahu, he offers sacrifices. He's not necessarily, whether it's an official carbon, whether it's not, you know, parenthetically, this is still at a time that a person is allowed to bring private karbanos. There was a time period when Mishkan Shiloh was in Shiloh for 369 years, that was prohibited. But since Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, until the time that Shlomo builds the first base of Migdash in Sefer Malachim, there was probably a 50-year period where a person was allowed to bring karbanos. So if this was an official karban, we don't know. It's because it also just means to slaughter. So Adoniah made this barbecue, tzonu vakar umari, sheep and cattle. So there's sheep meat, there's cow meat. Umari is not necessarily a different type of animal, but it's a qualification of the types of animal. The Mesudas Tzion tells us that it was fattened. It means, you know, good quality tzon and bakar. The right we had in Parsha Shavua recently, we had Yisro. So Yisro was a man of many names. One of Yisro's names was Putiel. Why Putiel? That same, the idea of Putiel, the word Peitet means that he fattened. He fattened the animals because he was trying different religions. So he would fatten the animals. So here Adoniah selects high quality animals. He does this in a location, in a popular location. Im Evan Hazocheles, he does it near Evan Hazocheles, literally the stone that flows or that crawls. Asher Eitzel Ein Rogel, which is next to Ein Rogel. These were places that had significance to the people of the time. Rashi tells us that the Evan HaZocheles was some type of, why was it called the crawling stone? Does anyone's translation translate it? The Art Scroll chooses not to translate it. They just say the Zohelet stone. We have some other translations. Anyone have anything?
Stone of Zohelet.
Stone of Zohelet, okay.
That helps.
So Rashi says it was a very large stone that basically the young boys would kind of test their strength by seeing if they could move it, see if they could push it. And that's why it had the word zochel, means to crawl or to flow, to push forward. Again, it sounds like it had significance at the time. You would say it's a popular location, because here you have Adoniah is trying to make himself popular with the people. So if you make a good party with good food and you do it in a popular place where the youth of the era hang out, so then, you know, you're setting yourself up for success. Vayikra, the pasuk continues in Tess, Vayikra es kol echav b'nei hamelech, He calls his other brothers, all of his brothers, who are the sons of the king, ulechol anshe Yehuda, and to all of the men of Yehuda, avdei hamelech, the other servants of the king. So one thing that we don't know, that we're not sure of, is who knew that Shlomo was supposed to be the king. We're going to definitely see in this parak a number of people were aware that Shlomo was supposed to be a king, and it appears that Adoniah specifically knows that Shlomo is supposed to be king, and that's why he's doing this. Meaning, if Adoniah thought that he was definitely going to become the king, he would have no need to, before David passes away, announce himself as king. There is no indication that this invitation that was sent out to the brothers, to his fellow princes, that it was met with any friction. It doesn't seem that anyone said no. It could be some did, and the Navi just doesn't record it. But if you put yourself in the mind, if you put yourself in the mind of the average Ben Melech, one of David's sons who maybe we don't even know their name. They're not the troublemakers, and they're not Shlomo, and they're so. What's better for them to go? Do they know for sure what Adoniah is trying to do? Was there some element of, you know, he's inviting them to a great party, and then through the party he's trying to convince them? So these are things, you know, these are more questions that we don't have answers to. But it's specific that he invites every one of David's sons, except in Pasuk Yud we're told, that's Nasan Hanavi, Nasan the prophet, Ubenayahu, and Benayahu, who was another one of the mighty soldiers of David, V'es HaGiborim, and some of the mighty warriors, and maybe that's a reference at the end of Sefer Shmuel. There was a whole list of specifically like 30 warriors that were David's, you know, personal warriors. V'es Shlomo Achiv lo kara. Shlomo, his brother, he did not invite. And so it's very clear when you put the two phrases. He invited all of his brothers who are the Bnei Melech, but he didn't invite Shlomo. It appears that Adoniah knows something. We'll pass out so we could take a look at it. Pasuk, when Shlomo was born in Shmuel Bet, so there it calls his name. He has two names. He has one name that his name is going to be Shlomo. Another name is that his name is going to be Yedidya, which means like the dear one of Hashem, the endearing Yedid. Right? We sing a song on Shabbos, Yedid Nefesh. So that is maybe a hint that Shlomo is going to be the dear one to Hashem. But when the psukim about that story are recorded in Divrei Hayamim, in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perichav Beis, and we're gonna focus our attention on Pasuk Tes, this is a prophecy that was delivered to David through Nasan, through the prophet Nasan. Right, Pasuk Ches says, Vayihi alai devar Hashem, that the word of Hashem came upon me. And Pasuk Tes continues, Hinei ben noladlach. Behold, right, this is Nasan talking to David. Behold, a son is going to be born to you. Hu yiye ish minucha. He is going to be a man of rest. Vachinosi lo mikol oivav, and I will allow him rest from all of the enemies misaviv, from all around. Ki Shlomo Yeshemo, his name will be Shlomo, v'shalom v'sheket etein al Yisrael b'yamav, and I will give peace, shalom, from Shlomo, and sheket, quiet, etein al Yisrael, I'm going to give to the people of Israel b'yamav in his days. Pasuk Yud, who in Divrei Hayamim, who yivne bayis, he will build the house. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Hu yivne bayis l'shmi, he will build the house for my name, says Hashem. V'hu yali levain, he shall be for me for a son. V'ani lo la'av, I will be for him for a father. There'll be a very close relationship between Shlomo and Hashem. V'achinosi kisei malchuso, and I will, right, so in case you thought Pasuk Tes was somehow a hint, v'achinosi kisei malchuso, I will establish his chair of his monarchy, al Yisrael ad olam, over Israel forever. And so here is a direct prophecy. So we understand why Nasan is not being invited. Nasan is the prophet who delivered the message of Shlomo's birth and that Shlomo is going to be king. And so we understand why he's not invited. So Adonijah seems to be aware. Now, how many people are aware? You could play it all options. Let's say everybody's aware. So what is Adonijah trying to accomplish? So I think we'll see some hints to this as the psukim develop. But when it comes to prophecy, I guess you could divide prophecy into three categories. There's prophecy for something good. There's prophecy for something bad. And maybe there's prophecy for just fact. A prophecy for something bad does not have to come true. A prophecy for something bad, the reason why it doesn't have to come true is because maybe the person who was going to be related to that prophecy or the people, the nation, would repent and do tshuva, and therefore the bad thing was saved. A good thing has to happen. If a Navi comes and says something good is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, so that's a sign that he's a Navi Sheker, or she's a Navi Sheker, and the Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim, the punishment is, a serious one, it's death. Put to death for being a Navi Sheker. But maybe there's a category of just fact. Meaning, if Adonijah was aware that this was a prophecy, what is he trying to accomplish? So maybe he thought that it's somewhere, this is not necessarily, for Shlomo, maybe it's considered to be good to be king, although you could debate whether it's good or not in totality to be king and with the responsibility that it bears. But maybe he thought that this, while this was a prophecy, it didn't necessarily have to unfold away. Or maybe it was dependent on certain people's actions. And maybe if Shlomo wasn't deserving of it, it wouldn't happen. There was still, maybe he sees some window of opportunity, but the last people that he's going to want to have present there is Shlomo and his Nasan. A similar question, does Shlomo know yet? We're going to see that his mother, Bathsheba, she knows, but does Shlomo know? We don't find that out. But they're just interesting to think about. So
the only one we know for sure that knows is Nasan.
Nasan knows and David knows. And we're going to see very soon that Bathsheba definitely knows. You can presume that Adonijah knows something. Because why would he? Right. And then what else is interesting is that it doesn't appear, we keep seeing that, we saw it once, we'll see it again in the parak, how David is so old. It doesn't seem that, and there was never a proper plan to announce this news. You would imagine that, you would think that it would get announced. It would be, everyone would know who is the crown prince, and especially if the king is in his old age, you don't know when he's going to pass. But it doesn't seem, and therefore there's a vacuum of knowledge, and in that vacuum, that's Adonijah can announce himself as the next in line to be king. So Nasan goes into action in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Nasan el Bathsheba. Nasan says to Bathsheba, Aim Shlomo, the mother of Shlomo. Leimor saying as follows. Halo shamat ki malach Adonijahu ben Chagis? Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Chagis, has become king? Now, obviously it doesn't mean become king, but it's a reference that he's acting like king, he's acting like the future king. The Adonenu David lo yada, and our master David is not aware of this. So you might say that Bathsheba wasn't aware of it either until this moment in time. That we find out news sometimes before it even happens. But that's nowadays. It could very well be that she's in the palace somewhere and she's unaware, right? She's not going to get in. The mother of Shlomo, just like Shlomo didn't get invited to Adonijah's party, so too the mother of Shlomo is not going to get invited. So Nasan informs her that Adonijah is acting as king. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vata. L'chi iatzech na etza. Go, I will advise you now advice. Umalti es nafsheich, and you will save your soul, your life, v'es nefesh b'neich Shlomo, and the life of Shlomo. What's going to become clear is that Nasan did not want to confront David directly. Nathan is trying to come up with a plan to tell David about Adonijah's uprising so that David will go into action. That he's not viewing it, this is not something definite that's taking place. There's still time to rectify the situation. And so Nathan is trying to come up with a plan. Now you might say, you know, we have certain sensitivities, and I think even in Tanakh you maybe see with certain sensitivities that when someone is described as being old, maybe you don't want to deliver shocking news in a certain way because you don't know how they're going to take the shocking news. Maybe this is now David has had quite a life, so you know this is just like one of the moments of crisis. But maybe Nathan feels that this is the appropriate way, or just in terms of having having David react, he thinks bringing Bathsheba into the picture and having Bathsheba be the first one to talk to David, he thinks that that's going to be the most effective. Now, the play that he says, first and foremost, he says, I'm going to give you the advice, meaning I'm going to tell you everything that you should do. And you should do this, right? So in the back of our minds, we're saying, of course Bathsheba would want this. Bathsheba would, of course she would want her son to be king. Right, which Jewish mother doesn't want her son to be king? It's not as good as being a doctor, but it's second. But he tries to make it a little bit more personal, where he throws in this phrase of umalti as nafsheich v'as nefesh b'neich. You'll actually be saving your life. So in the Mefarshim debate, what that means, Rashi says, what does it mean to save your life? Very strong language, and maybe you could take this Rashi and apply it to other areas of life. Rashi says, "Mina machlokas," you'll save yourself from an argument, because what's going to happen if tomorrow the king dies? So then there are going to be people who say that Adonijah should be king. There'll be other people who say that Shlomo should be king, and there'll be a machlokas. And just being right, so it's almost if with Rashi's explanation, saving your life from machlokas. That machlokas could be so. I think they even show in studies people who have machlokas and arguments and grudges. It's not good for your health. So that's one interpretation. But the other mafarshim, the Radak says it'll save. There'll be some if Adonijah becomes the king and is forcefully king. So maybe he won't kill you, but he's not going to let you and Shlomo live lives of tranquility. Maybe you'll be banished from the city. You'll have to live lives of humiliation. And then the third interpretation is that no, he'll kill you. What's the best way to get rid of the competition? Get rid of the competition. You kill especially Shlomo is not going to put up too much of a fight. He's 12 years old. Bathsheba, you know, we never know. Bathsheba came into the palace under let's just say non-ideal circumstances because of the scandal that was involved in terms of her relationship with David. Could be, you know, if with our 2019 sensitivities, it could be she wasn't so accepted into the palace. Maybe the other wives of David, when they went to Starbucks, they didn't sit together. Again, we don't know if they did those things, but so it's very easy to kind of like push them, get them out of the way. So Nathan is trying to say that this is greatly in your benefit for you to be involved. And the reason why he's coming up with this is because he thinks this is the best way to get through to David. So he says, Pasuk Yud Gimel, L'chi uvo'i el hamelech David. Go and come to the king David. V'amarte lov, and you should tell him the following. Right? He's giving her the lines to say. Halo ata doni hamelech. Nishbata la'amasecha lemor. Did my master, the king, which is maybe not the normal way that a queen would speak to her husband, the king, but here she's trying to beseech him, she's trying to persuade him. Did my master, the king, not swear to me, not swear la'amasecha to your maidservant, referring to that Nathan is telling her to refer to herself in a humble way. Lamor saying as follows, Ki Shlomo v'neich yimloch acharai, that Shlomo, your son, should rule after me. Right? That David swore to Bathsheba, saying, your son Shlomo will rule after me, v'hu yoshev al kisi, and he will sit on my throne. And you finish your words by saying, Umadua Malach Adonia. So why is it that Adonia has become, is acting as king? Why is Adonia being king? So where is this Shvua? So in Sefer Shmuel, we didn't see such a Shvua. Nasan seems to be aware of the Shvua, but Sheva is not going to deny the Shvua.
Sorry, can I interrupt? What about the fact that he's only 12 years old? I mean, is that not a factor at all?
It doesn't seem to be a factor at all. Now, if you stick with Sefer Malachim, Shlomo is not even going to have the record for being the youngest king. In a world, and now, in Israel itself, there have only been two kings. Both of them have been adults. In the world of kings in general, so really it doesn't go with age, it goes with the selected son. Right. So while
it's not capable of person at 12.
I mean, some people would say you could have a leader of a country in his 70s and he's not capable. You know, depends on who would say so. I don't know. These are possibilities. No, so again, I think for us it's wild. For us it's wild to think a 12-year-old is going to become the ruler. In an era of kings, and while it wasn't proper when the Bnei Yisrael came to Shmuel in Parakhes of Sefer Shmuel Aleph and said, you know, we want a king. It was inappropriate that they said, we want a king to be like the other nations. But it definitely shows that they were aware of how monarchies worked. And this was, it's strange for us to, you know, to say that this is, you know, because we put such a high value on democracy. This was the kind of government that they chose, that they wanted. And it's definitely a path that the Torah allows for, maybe encourages, maybe doesn't encourage. It depends on the situation. But there doesn't seem to be any. Right, that's the record. That's the record. So we'll get there.
Did anybody talk about it? I'm sorry. Why didn't David just come out and say who's going to be the next king to avoid all of this turmoil?
I don't know. I think we mentioned this idea last time, maybe quickly. It's never happened before. There's never been a peaceful succession of power yet.
Right.
Right. We had Shaul dying, and then there was a mess, and now this is the second king. There's never been. We've had peaceful transitions of other forms of leadership. Right. It seems to be very peaceful when Moshe passes the mantle to Yoshua, that's very peaceful. When the Kohanim Gadol, right? That's probably is one of the most beautiful scenes that the Torah describes. When Aaron goes up the mountain and Moshe takes off the big day kahuna of Aaron and puts it on a lazar, and then it's like, you know, it's 123. It's like this. You know, but in terms of king, it hasn't happened. So maybe they just, I mean, it sounds weird saying it. Maybe they just don't know what to do. But it does appear. It does appear to be odd. So where's this shvua? Where is this oath? So the Radak, in his commentary, so Nasan knew there was an oath. Batsheva does not deny the oath. And at some point, David is actually going to agree that there was an oath. So the Radak explains that, going back to Sefer Shmuel, so when David and Bathsheba first were intimate with each other, it produced a pregnancy, and the child died in infancy. And the Radak says that after that point, Bathsheba did not want to be intimate again with David, saying that even if we're able to achieve a viable child, that child's going to be basically full of scorn. And that child is going to be made fun of. It's because it's always going to be attached to the union between David and Bathsheba, which began inappropriate. And even if at some point it morphed into something being appropriate, you know, the child would, all children that come from Bathsheba would be labeled as Bathsheba's children. And so it was in that context. And again, I guess you have to somehow put it together. David can't necessarily be the only one to decide who's going to be the next king, because there seems to be a God component where Hashem is deciding this. So you have to kind of merge the two together. That David took an oath to Bathsheba, I swear that your son, the next son, will be the one to become king. So this way, Bathsheba was calmed and consoled by that by that shvua, by that oath.
Was that first baby a boy?
The next baby was Shlomo.
Oh, no,
oh, the first baby was a boy. Was a boy. So there's this oath that she should make mention of to David. And then Nasan says the next part of the plan, right? This is a whole plan to get David to come on board. And again, I think we would all think that David is definitely going to be on board. Nasan, for whatever reason, thinks it has to happen a certain way to get David on board. And Pasuk Yudalad, Nasan says, Hine odach medaberes shah memamelech. And behold, when you are still in the middle, while you're speaking to the king, va'ani avo acharayich, I'll come in after you. Umilesi es devarayich, I will literally fill your words. I'll continue the conversation. And now it'll be a two-prong approach to persuading David. There'll be you first, then, right, the mother of Shlomo, one of David's wives, will come first. Then comes Nasan the Navi. And, you know, hopefully that will do the trick. Pasuk Tesvav. Vatavo Batsheva el hamelech hachadra. The Batsheva comes to the king, to the king's room. Vahamelech zakein ma'od. And the king was very old. This is as opposed to the way the Sefer started. The way the Sefer started was Vahamelech David zakein. So we know it's not that much. It can't be that much more time. Why is the Navi going out of its way to say V'hamelech zakein ma'od? It's maybe trying to highlight the fact that Nasan and Batsheva felt that this was pressing. Because if they don't get through to David while David's alive, then there'll be a true vacuum of power. And then you might say, you know what? We'll have a viable the oldest remaining son who could be king, is announcing himself as king, has an entourage, and it looks like maybe his father selected him. And we have the mother of the 12-year-old who's like one of David's last wives saying that he should be king. And there'll be a whole mess. So Vamelech Zakein Ma'od, he was really old. Now again, we saw it wasn't in terms of years. David, when he passes away, is only 70. But his body was old. His life was coming to an end. Va'avishag ha-shunamis misharis ha-samelech. And the same Avishag from Shunam, who we had seen in the beginning of the Sefer, she was servicing the king. Why is that important to know? Because maybe if she was so misharis ha-samelech, serving the king, so she had one main function, and perhaps she had other functions. But the main function was to keep David warm. Other functions might have been to feed him and to clothe him, relative, let's say, just in terms of modesty, take care of his other needs, be his personal nurse. But maybe we're being told this because if she was servicing David with her primary service, that's something that would be very private. There'd be nobody else in the room. It would be safe to have a discussion about Adoniah because he's invited every prince except for Shlomo. So we don't know who is on Adoniah's side and who is not. So you have to maybe be sensitive towards it. So this was an opportune time. So she comes in, and we're going to see there's going to be a slight difference in how she enters the room versus how Nasan, right? The plan is she comes in and then Nasan is going to come to help. She comes in unannounced. That's one of your rights as queen, is you can come to the king's room unannounced. You don't have to, you don't have to ask. It's not like Achashverosh's time. She can come unannounced. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vatikod Basheva. She bowed. Vatishtachu lamelech, and she prostrated herself in front of the king. Vayomer hamelech malach, the king immediately said to her, what's with you? It's almost, and some of the Farshim explain, it was because she bowed down. While it's normal operating procedure to bow down to a king out of respect, meaning not when you view the king as an avodah zarah, but it's normal operating procedure when you meet a Jewish king to bow down, not for the queen. not or one of the queens. That's not normal. So she did. She is trying to ingratiate herself, and we'll see. Right, we saw with Nasan's instruction. We'll see she follows through in terms of using language of calling David Adoni and referring to herself as Amasecha in a very humble way, bowing down to begin the conversation. Starts with humility, and we saw in Sefer Shmuel there was the greatest persuasive speech in Sefer Shmuel was a different wife of David, who she wasn't yet David's wife, Abigail. She did similar when she fell at David's feet when she was trying to convince David not to go through with killing out Nabal and his whole household. So she's bowing down to ingratiate herself in front of David, and he picks up on the fact that something's off, and he immediately says Malach, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatomer lo, she says to him, right? Bathsheba says to David, Ata nishpata b'Hashem Elokecha la'amasecha. You swore by the name of Hashem, your God, to your maidservant, to me, ki Shlomo v'nechim lo chacharai, that Shlomo, your son, will rule after me, v'hu yoshev al kisi, that he will sit on my throne. So she's not directly mentioning anything about the prophecy that was told to Nasan that Shlomo is supposed to be king. She's focusing just on the fact that there was a personal oath to her. She does sprinkle in that the oath has religious, right? The way the Jews take oaths, at least in the good old days, right? It's something that on the one hand, it's very scary to take an oath with the name of Hashem. On the other hand, it's one of the greatest ways to honor the oath, the name of Hashem, by taking it a shvua in Hashem's name. The reason why it's so, if it's not true, you're basically denying God's existence. If it is true, it's like you're making kiddush. It's like you're announcing and professing God's existence. So she sprinkles that in, that it was a shvua made with the name of Hashem, but it's still a personal shvua, that Shlomo, your son, will rule after you, that Shlomo, my son, should be sitting on the throne. Pasuk Yudches, V'ata, and now, Hine Adoniah Malach. Behold, Adoniah is acting as king. V'ata Adoni HaMelech lo yadata. And you, my master, the king, you don't know. You're not aware of it. You could analyze, she follows the exact instructions from Nasan, but it's interesting that it starts with what should be and what is, as opposed to what is and what should be. She doesn't say, Adoniah is acting as king, oh, but Shlomo is supposed to be. It's almost like she wants David to be in full mode of recognizing that Shlomo is supposed to be the king, and then comes the reality of the fact that Adoniah is trying to alter that. And she goes on and she says, Pasuk Yud Tes, Vayizbach shor umari vitzon larov. He is slaughtering oxen and fattened sheep, larov, for the many, right? He's having a huge celebration. Vayikrol l'chol b'nei ha-melech, and he's invited all of the princes of the king. Ule Avyasar ha-kohen and Avyasar the kohen. Ule Yoav sar ha-tzava, and he's invited Yoav the general. Ule Shlomo avdecha lokara, and to Shlomo your eved, again trying to show humility, lo kara, he did not invite. Now, she doesn't mention the other people who were not invited, because that's not her angle. Her angle is how, you know, her personal angle is how her son is being left out. Not just like left out of the party, left out of being coming king. And she seems to go off script, Pasuk Chaf. So we don't know if at this point she's putting in her own words, were these words also told to her by Nasan, but just not recorded. Pasachaf, v'yata Adoni HaMelech, and you, my master the king, Einei Chol Yisrael Alecha, all the eyes of Israel are upon you. Lagid Lahem, to tell them, Mi Yeshev Al Kisei Adoni HaMelech Acharav, who will sit on the throne of my master the king, Acharav, after him. So she's saying it's not lost, meaning this is not we can solve this, and the whole nation will look. All you have to do, and this is what, you know, what you were asking, why hasn't it happened? So we don't have an answer to that. But the roadmap to success is to just, or to a rightful successor, is to just announce it. All of the eyes of the country are on you. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vaya kishkav Adoni HaMelech HaMavosav. It will be when my master the king is lying with his fathers. And she seems to be saying, if there's no announcement until that point, if you die without making that announcement, right? The lying with forefathers is the Tanakh's way of referring to death. Vayisi ani uveni Shlomo chataim. It will be I and my son Shlomo, well, we'll translate it literally, will be chataim, will be sinners. Your other translations translate it literally? Art Scroll did.
Considered offenders.
Considered offenders. So that's a little bit.
That's not chataim. That would be chotim. Chataim is people who are missing, who are pushed out.
So the Metzidos Tzion says, "Hu me'inyan chisaron," right? I will be missing, which makes a lot more sense because without knowing who's going to take over, she's envisioning that Adoniah will be stronger. First of all, he's physically stronger than Shlomo. He'll figure out a way to. He's already trying to usurp the power. So he'll continue, and therefore we'll be missing. We'll be left out. So that's one way that. And Rashi also translates chataim as missing. There is an approach. The Targum Yonasan translates it into Aramaic as Misrechin. The Radak cites this. Misrechin is a language of divorce. That we will be divorced from, right? Megurashin mina malucha. The way the Radak says maybe the reason why she chooses the word chataim, she was trying to in a kind way say that you, David, will be a chote. You will be a sinner because you will have violated your oath. You took a shvua by the name of Hashem, and so she doesn't want to say that because she's trying to get on David's good side here, but she's kind of hinting at it.
I'm just wondering, it's not necessarily so surprising that David didn't announce Shlomo as the king. There was never before succession.
Right.
And the prior choosing of David was Al Yedei HaNavi. And David himself was, you know, he was hiding. He was Nachbal HaKelim. There was never...
Shaul was Nachbal HaKelim.
Okay, so...
But both of them were only recognized by prophets.
Correct.
Waiting...
David was not aware that he would need to make an announcement.
I mean, it's not his job, it's the Navi's job. The Navi will do it.
Natan or whoever followed Natan would then make the announcement. So I don't think it's necessarily...
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not, maybe it's not up to the king at all. It's only up to the prophet. Definitely. So.
What if he doesn't come forth with it? What if he doesn't prophesy there's nothing. Then there's going to be this machlokes again.
Right. So now the plan. So she finished her piece. She said her whole speech to David, and Pasuk Chaf Beis is the Nasan's plan. V'hine odena medaberes emamelech. She was still in the middle of speaking to the king. V'Nasan hanavi ba, and Nasan arrived. V'yagidu lamelech lemor. It was told to the king, saying, "Hine Nasan hanavi. Behold, Nasan hanavi is here." Right? Nasan has to be announced by the guard because he's the prophet. He's not a wife. He comes before the king. He prostrates himself in front of the king to the ground. He bows down. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayomer Nasan said, "Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, ata amarta Adoniyahu yimloch acharai? Did you say that Adoniyah should be king after me, v'hu yeshev al kisi, and he should sit on my throne. Is that something that you said? Was that is that a directive that you gave? Pasuk of Hey. Ki yorad hayom, for he has gone down today. Vayizbach shor miri umutzon larov, and he's slaughtering a whole party of fattened animals, the shor and the oxen and the sheep for the many. Vayikra l'chol b'nei amelech, and he's invited all of the princes, ula sarei atzava, and the officers of the army, ula v'yasar ha-kohen, and of Yasar the Kohen Gadol, v'hinam, and they are ochlim v'shosim l'fanav, they're eating and drinking in his presence. Vayomru, and they are saying, yichi ha-melech Adonayahu, they're saying, long live the king Adonijah. So whether they're saying that long live the current king Adonijah or long live the future king of Israel Adonijah, they're saying one of those things. So did you say that? And then he said, and Pazachavav, Vili ani avdecha, and me, I, your servant, Ula tzadok ha-kohen and tzadok the kohen, uveniyahu veniyoyada, ushlom v'shlomo avdecha lo kara. He didn't invite any of us. Pasuk of Zion, im me'eis Adoni HaMelech, if this was actually from my master the king, niya hadavar hazeh, that this matter came, v'lo hodata es avdecha, and you didn't let know your servant, meaning himself, mi yeshev al kisei Adoni HaMelech acharav, who would sit on the throne of my master the king after him. We've discussed this before, David. We've discussed that it's going to be Shlomo. And if you've changed your mind, because if it's a nevuah that came from Hashem, it's Hashem's word. It's not really up to David to change. But he's almost saying to David, you would have never changed it without talking to me first. I'm Nasan, I'm the Navi. You would have, right? And maybe it's because in the back of everyone's mind, you do need the Navi's involvement to have the next king and to select the next king. So now you would maybe say that Nasan would never have led with this. But this is all taking place on the heels of the first part, which was prepared, the first part of the conversation, which was prepared for, which was executed by Bathsheba. So now we had Bathsheba's speech of persuasion, we had Nasan's speech of persuasion, and then we have David's response, finally, in Pasuk Chaf Ches. This whole time David is listening. Whether or not there's a little bit of back and forth, we don't know. But here we have David's response. Vayan HaMelech David Vayomer. David answered and said, Kiru li Levasheva. Call for me Bathsheba. Either she had stepped to the back of the room to allow Nasan to have audience with the king. Maybe she even stepped out of the room and he's calling her. He wants his first word to be said to her specifically. And maybe it has to do with the Shvuah. Vatavo lefnei ha-melech, she came before the king. Vata'amod lefnei ha-melech, and there she is. She stood before the king. Pasuk Haftes. Vayishava ha-melech vayomar. And the king took an oath now, saying, Chai Hashem, by the life of God, asher pida es nafshi mikol tzara, the same God who has redeemed my life from every trouble, from every distress. And we know David had quite a number of distressful periods in his life. Pasuk Lamed, here we have David's agreement that it's not just a Shvuah that's happening now. Ki kasher nishbati lach, just as I have already sworn to you, Bahashem Elokei Yisrael, in the name of God, the God of Israel, Lamar saying, Ki Shlomo v'nech yimloch acharai, that Shlomo, your son, will rule after me, v'hu yeshev al kisi atachtai, and he will sit on my throne after me, ki chein e'aseh hayom hazeh, so shall I do on this day. Meaning, the response to Adonijah's exalting himself as the crown prince will be to actually place Shlomo as king effective immediately. And that's David's response. So Nasan's plan worked perfectly. Now, would it have not worked if Bathsheba wasn't involved? Who knows? But not, that was Nathan's plan, and it worked. And in response to that, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vatikod Basheva Apayim Arza, Vatishtach LaMelech, she bowed down to the ground and prostrated herself in front of the king. Vatomer, and she said, Yechi Adoni HaMelech David Leolam. May my master, the king David, live forever. Which is maybe an idea of the Radak says right here. David's been described as Zakein and Zakein Ma'od. There's not that much more life left in David. So this is not such a great bracha, right? That he should live forever, right? So the Radak says Perush Chayin Nefesh L'Olam Haba, that she was referring to Olam Haba, Kibolam Hazeh Karav Hulamisa. He was close to death, so it meant Yichi HaMelech in the, not just an Olam Haba, an Olam Hazeh, but also an Olam Haba. It was her way of saying thank you. So now comes the plan. David is taking action. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayomer HaMelech David, the king David says, Kiru li, call for me, L'tzadok HaKohen. I want Tzadok the Kohen, who is the other candidate to be the next Kohen Gadol. And we'd already seen one instance in Sefer Shmuel where the Urim V'tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, was not answered by when Avyasar was asking of it, but it was when Tzadok was. So David says, call Tzadok the Kohen. Ula Nasan Hanavi and Nasan the prophet, who was in the vicinity, but he's saying officially, call them together. Uvenayo ben Yoyada and ben Yoyo ben Yoyada. Vayavul fnei HaMelech, they come before the king. These three individuals, and they all, it's basically, there's a representation of three different core groups. You have the Kohen, who represents the Kohanim. You have the Navi that represents the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have Benayo ben Yoyada, who's one of the soldiers, who kind of represents the army, as we'll see in the next chapter. Benayahu plays a very large role in the future army of Israel. Vayavol lefnei HaMelech, so they come. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayomer HaMelech lahem. The king says to them, Kichu imachem es avdei adonechem. Take for yourself your master's servants. He's talking about himself, meaning take a crowd. Now, it most likely is the crowd that has not yet, that's not with Adoniah, right? So, but there's a lot to go around, apparently. Virkavtem eshlomo bini alha pirda asherli. And you should ride, you should have Shlomo, my son, ride, cause him to ride on my mule, Asher Li, that is to me. As far as I remember, this is the first time that we hear about a personal mule that David had. In Sefer Shmuel, we saw that when Shaul was selected as king, so he was in the middle of a story of being very focused on donkeys. And one of the things that Sefer Devarim tells us in Perek Yitzayim, when it talks about the concept of a king, is that there's a prohibition for a king not to have too many horses. Because horses represent power. That's probably the name, horse power, right? And a king shouldn't have too much physical, this world power, because the king shouldn't think that his power comes from his might. The Jewish king has to know that his power comes from Hashem. And so we saw a nice thought that Shaul, who was so humble, he was kind of focused on donkeys, which is more of a proper idea. So I don't know if there's any type of connection. A pirda, a mule. So a mule is not an animal that you are allowed to grow yourself, because a mule is the product of a horse and a donkey, which is against the Torah. But you're allowed to buy one from a non-Jew who created, right? Like buying a tangerine in the store. You can't grow, you can't make the tangerine, but you can buy one and eat it. David is specifically telling there's an aspect of personal, that have Shlomo ride on my horse, right? That shows continuity. That shows that I value Shlomo. And when people see it, they'll see, oh, Shlomo's on the animal of the king. It must mean he's the selected one. I don't know if there's any significance to it being a mule, which is, you know, maybe not as humble as a donkey, but more humble than a horse. V'horadtem oso el Gichon, and you should bring him down to the Gichon spring. This is the spring in Yerushalayim. They take you there when you go on tours of Ir David, specifically to have the announcement, and we'll see in the next pasuk, the anointment of a king take place by water. You have it take place by water. Water, especially a live spring, is full of life. It's full of flow. It's very symbolic that the same way that this spring is flowing with life, so too this new king, his rulership, should flow with life. Pasuk Lamed Daled, umashachoso, and anoint him with oil. Sham over there, tzadok haKohen v'nasan anavi, both a component of the Kohen Gadol being present and a Navi being present, will anoint him lemelech al Yisrael, will anoint him as king over Israel, meaning the whole Israel, all 12 tribes. There won't be any indication, any hint. This is not even mentioning, you know, sometimes it said, we saw phrases like al Yisrael v'al Yehuda. There's no mention. This is going to be, Shlomo is going to be the united king over all of Israel. Usekatem b'shofar, you'll blow the shofar. Va'amartem, and you will say, Yechi HaMelech Shlomo, long live King Shlomo. Not long live future King Shlomo, but long live King Shlomo now. And it's almost as if David is resigning from king and allowing Shlomo to be considered the king already. The Mefarshim are a little bothered by why Shlomo had to be anointed. The anointing of a king. So the halacha seems to be that if a son is becoming king, taking over for his father, there's no requirement of using anointing oil. The anointing oil was made by Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. It was used to anoint Aaron and his sons as Kohanim and Kohen Gadol. It was used to actually a little bit of the oil, right? We're starting at Truma this week, all the parshios are dealing with the Mishkan. The oil was put on the items of the Mishkan to anoint and inaugurate the Mishkan. And that same oil was saved and it was used to anoint David. We had pointed out that it was not used. When we learned Sefer Shmuel, we pointed out it was not used to anoint Shaul, and that was symbolic of the fact that Shaul was not, even when things were good, Shaul was not going to be the king forever and have an everlasting dynasty. So why is Shlomo being anointed? Most likely it's because there was the reason when it's so obvious who the next king is supposed to be, so then there's no need to have the king to be anointed with oil. But if ever there was a king that needed like the most public display of becoming and announcing a king, it was Shlomo, to get rid of all doubt that he is the next king.
There's no communication between David and Shlomo though, regarding this becoming king immediately.
It doesn't sound that way.
So he's taken by others to become king
at 12 years old.
Yeah.
Right. Now, again, yeah. It's hard.
Without daddy. Baseball. No, you have to.
Right. Again, with our sense, with our modern day sensitivities, it's definitely hard to fully comprehend. We know why David can't be present. David's just not, he's not physically able to leave the palace and go there. And you should continue, right? Pasuk Lamed Hey, Va'alisem Acharav, then you will bring him up afterwards. Uva V'yashav Al Kisi, you'll let him come and let him sit on my throne. V'hu Yimloch Tachtoi, he shall reign in my place. Sounding like even now, during my lifetime. The osot sivisi lios nagid, and it is him who I command to be the ruler, al Yisrael v'al Yehuda. Now we spell it out, al Yisrael v'al Yehuda. It's going to be over everyone. There's going to be united. There's going to be no you know, it could very well be that there's some, you know, you might say, well, why is he even saying that? Just say Al Yisrael, Al Yisrael. So again, maybe it's another one of these ideas that while there was a united government at this time, there was a sense of it being the seeds maybe exist already that there'll be a split. Unfortunately, you know, most of us know the end of the story is that it doesn't. The end of the story of Shlomo is that there will be a split with Yisrael and Yehuda. So why is David even mentioning it? Maybe it's some type of foreshadowing. But most likely it's just to put the emphasis that he's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the ruler for everyone. And so that's what this is David's plan. David's plan is to have a very public announcing or anointing, initiating, inaugurating Shlomo as king, and then having Shlomo actually sit on the throne. That will get away all doubts that who is to be the next king, because the next king will start ruling on the very day that David found out about what Adonijah was up to. So, Be'ez Hashem, next time we will continue.